Welcome to another episode of Stir the Pot Podcast. This is your host DGA, aka 509 Reasons, and we're back with another one. And I just have a question for you guys out there. I want to know if you're dedicated to your job like this young man was dedicated to his. Like, real talk, we're not talking about like no like regular job. We're talking about like a job, like a maybe a career, something you took years to practice your craft, to perfect it. You went to school for it. You love what you do. Now you're getting paid for it. Like, that type of dedication. Like, do you have that? I want to know if your dedication is on the level of the dedication this young man had for his job. This guy traveled 21 miles from his house to another state because he was just that dedicated in his job. What was his job? Yes. No worries. I'm going to play that clip for you.
From putting their guns at the crowd.
The armed men appear emboldened by the inaction of the police towards them. Minutes after encountering the officers, Rittenhouse explains to a reporter from the Daily Caller why he thinks he belongs in Kenosha.
Our job is to protect this business, and part of my job is to also help people. If there's somebody hurt, I'm running into harm's way. That's why I have my rifle.
It's about 15 minutes until he'll fire his first shot.
Like I said, I want to know if your dedication is just as strong as his dedication for his job. Man lives in Antioch, Illinois, 21 miles away from Kenosha, Wisconsin, to do his job, to protect businesses and the buildings, and to help people and to get into harm's way, with his arms just in case. At this point, we got to call this premeditated, right? 21 miles, we're going to probably say that's maybe 20 to 30, 45 minutes. With your gun, obviously you have to get your gun. You have to load your gun. Make sure your gun is clean. Make sure it's good to go just in case you have to use your weapon. All this time, this distance, we call that premeditation at this point. Your boy was looking to get into something. Oh, and if you don't know what this person, this is Kyle. Kyle Rittenhouse. He's currently on trial for the murder of two men and harming one other man in the protests in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The protests are a result of the shooting of Jacob Blake by the hands of the police. Jacob Blake was breaking up a fight between two women. Police were called onto the scene. He ordered his three kids to get into the car. And while he was getting into the car, police claimed that he was maybe reaching or whatnot. And they pumped seven shots into him. So that resulted in protests. Protests to the magnitude of actual NBA players sitting out a playoff game, which it caused a lot of attention. It brought a lot of attention to what was going on already on site in Kenosha. A playoff game in the middle of a pandemic with nobody having nothing to do, and then everybody's just here to watch a game and the game is canceled, bringing more awareness to what's going on in Kenosha. And, this young man comes through to do his job. Like, are you that dedicated? You know what I'm saying? Like, you get ready, put on your clothes, brush your teeth, take a shower, get your gun, clean it up, bag it up, and you pull up. And he pulls up on the scene with his Smith & Wesson M&P 15. It's an AR, semi-automatic assault rifle. It's not a little play toy, you feel me? It's not a little pistol. This is a weapon where you can get at least 90 days in jail because it's a misdemeanor for a person under 18 to be open carry. Mind you, that's a charge that was thrown out off of technicality, right? Because I'm going to tell you about a law, because not many people knew about it. There was a law in Kenosha, which basically, I guess back in the day, there was gangs who was, you know, going crazy with guns. So any weapons that were like sawed off, like Uzis, like the little guns, they made those, you know, like a misdemeanor charge if you was to get caught up with that type of weapon. But that's the technicality of it. This actual weapon is longer than the technical law. So only because the gun had such a length to it, because it was longer than a typical semi-automatic or adjusted, what do you call it? Customized weapon. The judge took that off. So he threw that out of the court, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of people are wondering, like, damn, what the hell is going on? How the hell did this happen? That's what it was. But that's, once again, that's besides the point. Two people were killed. Another one injured. So yeah, he pulled up on scene and ends up linking up with some of these guys. Some of these guys are called the Boogaloo Boys. The Boogaloo Boys are an organization that are against like government liberals, basically white nationalists, all about that white power, whatnot. And here's what one of the Boogaloo Boys had to say. He used to be a Boogaloo Boy. He's now renounced from the Boogaloo Boys. He's a former veteran of the Army. His name is Ryan Balsh. I'll play that clip for you.
Balsh and his friends eventually link up with other openly armed men. Among them is Kyle Rittenhouse.
Openly armed men.
Rittenhouse is 17 years old. He's come to Kenosha from his home in Illinois. Balsh says he didn't know Rittenhouse or the people he was with, but decided to team up with them anyway.
They weren't on the level of me and my guys. I don't think they trained formally together at all, but the more guys you got, the better off you are.
As for Rittenhouse, we don't know whether he sees himself as some kind of neutral force between the protesters and the police, like Ryan does. His social media posts at the time seemed to indicate he was a strong supporter of law enforcement. Since the shooting, he's also been seen flashing white power signs.
Break out Kyle! Break out Kyle!
And he's become an icon for far-right groups. Soon, Balsh and Rittenhouse will come face to face with racial justice protesters.
No beef!
And there you have it. I just want you to sit there and take all that in. For all of you that's listening on audio, I played a video. And if you saw the images of this guy, this young man, you know, after the shooting, does he look like a person that's, resentful for what happened that day? If not, he's really just taking a play on his celebrity, his newfound celebrity status, because obviously there are people who are against the movement of police accountability for what had happened to Jacob Blake, which is the reason for that protest in the first place. So he had the protesters, and then you had the anti-protesters. And the Boogaloo Boys were part of that anti-protest movement. So with that being said, he links up with these guys.
Then Kyle Rittenhouse runs past his camera.
I had been looking kind of at him the entire time because he looked young. He had a gun. So at the point where I see him run by me, I was like, that's weird. So I followed down in that direction.
I already was running too, but
militia's only like to play
let's check stuff. It out, right?
Rittenhouse walks towards a parking lot where cars are being vandalized. He passes Joseph Rosenbaum, who was fighting with the armed men at the gas station earlier. Rosenbaum now starts chasing Rittenhouse and throws a plastic bag that holds his belongings from the hospital. Close behind them, a man holds up a handgun and fires it. We don't know why. Then Rosenbaum lunges towards Rittenhouse. Rittenhouse fires four times,
Had I been in his shoes getting chased and then I heard a gunshot, I can't say that I would have done anything differently.
Rosenbaum, who's been hit, falls to the ground. There are three more shots from someone else in the parking lot.
Oh, shit. We got shots fired, guys. We got shots fired.
The shooting happens. And after the shooting, he's out there taking pictures with people, doing white power signs. You can see from his Instagram, Blue Lives Matter. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all about supporting police, you know what I'm saying? As far as police, you know, who are doing the right thing out there, salute to you. Police are necessary for the society, right? What we don't need in society is the police who are, you know, all about that blue wall, that blue silence. If your brother or sister in arms with the badge on is doing something against the law, they're taking advantage of the badge. It's on you as a person with the heart, as a soul, with a soul, to, you know what I'm saying, handle that. But obviously this is not how it works around that blue wall of science or silence. Excuse me. So you see all the history of what he has going on. So we know this is all premeditated. This man went there with the intent of getting ready to get busy with that gun. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it. Come on, man. That man, that boy knew what he's doing. That young man knew what he was doing. At what particular point do we have to just get rid of these blurred lines? That's 17, 18. That's a young man. We getting young men get into fights and this and that. This boy pulled up over there with a gun. And with all the things that I've seen here with the intent to use it. You don't pull out a gun if you don't intend to use it. If you know anything about guns, you don't pull out that gun unless you're ready to use it. That man pulled out a whole gun, and he definitely used it that night. Fast forward, the trial begins. And also, let me give you this before we even get to the trial. I'm gonna give you another clip.
Rittenhouse calls a friend, while others are helping Rosenbaum, who's on the ground. Then he flees the scene.
Why you shoot him? Why you shoot him?
He didn't disarm himself after the first shooting. He continued to run around. As a gun owner, I view his actions as completely irresponsible.
You come running through looking wild with a gun on you, people are gonna think that you're doing something wild with a gun on you. So they reacted the way they should have reacted.
And as soon as they were all saying he shot somebody, Anthony was gone. And I tried to grab onto him and like nobody was gonna stop him, you know? And then I hear a bunch more gunshots down the road and I was like, I just had a feeling it was him.
Rittenhouse trips and falls. Anthony Huber hits Rittenhouse with a skateboard and attempts to disarm him. Rittenhouse shoots him in the chest. Here is Gage Grosskreutz with his gun drawn. He also gets shot and calls out for help.
I need a fucking medic! I'm trying to get on the bed.
The reality of it is this is going to be a part of my life from here on out.
Keep him right there. We're coming out to you.
Rittenhouse runs toward police vehicles and raises his hands.
Hey, he just shot them! Hey, you right here just shot them! You right here just shot all of them down there!
The police make no attempt to stop him, and he isn't arrested until the next day.
I didn't talk to them, but I'm sure they didn't know what this person was doing.
Where the fuck is he?
I'm just looking for my partner. Like, I'm just trying to find where he went. I knew he had been shot, you know? And then later on, I saw that video. They had pulled Anthony into that truck like minutes before I got there.
Both Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber die from their injuries.
I mean, which part do you want to dissect here? I get it. He's being chased. Somebody throws something at him. You hear gunshots. You react. You don't know what the heck's going on. Someone's behind you. You hear a gunshot. I guess I get it. But what was he running to? He was running to, I guess, cars being vandalized. Like, what? Once again, we're talking about that job dedication. You are not a cop. You are not a sworn in officer of that city, that county, or that state. Why is you running towards cars being vandalized? What are you going to do? Are you going to do a citizen's arrest? What are you going to do? The least you're going to do is put your guns towards these people that's vandalizing these vehicles. That's at least the least you're going to do, and hope that you don't get itchy trigger fingers and shoot somebody by accident. Well, here you go. You've put yourself in a situation where people are chasing you, don't know what you're doing, what you're running for. You get attacked. You get funny feeling. You bust a shot. Somebody's down. Get on the phone. Don't know what the hell's going on. Don't know what to do. Here you are now. You're running away. People are trying to figure out what's going on. Why did he do this? So now they're chasing him. They're trying to make sure he doesn't get away. While people are, well, shout out to them people. Like, I don't know if I had any attachment to any person that would get just shot on scene. And if I'm running after a person with a loaded weapon like that and actually hitting them, that takes some type of bravery. I almost think that's stupid, but I guess that's bravery in some people's heads. To be going after a person with a weapon if you don't have a weapon to counter with. Boom, boom. Goes for the man's gun. Kyle shoots that dude in the chest. Another person pulls up with a gun. Don't know what the hell he's doing, but boom. He gets shot in the arm. Gets up. Keeps it moving. Keeps it moving now. He's walking towards the cops with a whole AR in his hand. And I find it hard to believe that the cops still don't know what the hell's going on. I know you got to hear about shots being fired. You got to hear about shots being fired at this point. You see a person walking towards you with a weapon with their hands up. You got to feel funny about the situation. You got to feel like they've had some type of part in what has had just happened. You got to feel funny about that. But yet, it's a young white man who gets to skate right past them. Doesn't even get arrested that night. Doesn't even get questioned. He gets to go home that night. Right? They took these two people to the hospital. They're dead. The one man, he gets shot in the arm. Man loses sensation in his hands. The kid goes home that night. Don't know if he feels regretful. Don't know if he had a comfortable night of sleep. But he's lucky enough to go home that night. There are at least three people who weren't afforded the same chance to go home that night. It's crazy. And once again, we're going to talk about the video we just saw, the clips we just heard. This kid is posing with people, doing white power signs. This is all premeditated. This is a kid that's enjoying this. This his newfound celebrity for taking people out of here forever. Families who will never get to see their members of the family again. He's smiling. He's enjoying it. He's basking in it. Why should we feel sorry for this young man? I get it. Forgiveness, this and this and that. But hey, man, boy, you got to pay for it. It's, at the end of the day, we're coming back to the same point I brought into the beginning. This is premeditated. The man was dedicated in his job. With that same dedication, you need to be paid with some prison time, boy.
And there were... there were three people right there.
We're going to just take time for our break anyway. You can just relax for a minute, sir. Please don't talk about the case during the break.
That's so nice of the judge to give this young man a 10-minute break, because obviously he can't hold himself up on the stand. Does this man look like he's remorseful for what he did, or he's sorry that he might actually go to prison for killing people? Like I said, I want to know if he was remorseful like this on the night he did what he did. Like, when he went home, did he break down like this? Like, did he know the gravity of what he did? I want to know that. Because this thing on the stand, boy, give this man an award, Academy Award winner. Straight up. Boy, Ben Affleck, you can learn from him. Boy, this boy, them tears, boy. Them... Nigga, I don't give a fuck about them tears, bro. I don't give a fuck about them tears. Boy, you got some time to do, man. Boy, you got to send him out. You got to send him out. This all comes down to premeditated for me. This wasn't all done on a whim. This is all actions that's all put together for you to end up killing two people that night. Taking somebody's arm off that night. You got to pay for what you did. But the way this is looking like, society about to let them off. And this is the problem, like the double standard we're seeing here in America. We got black men, black people getting shot for having nothing in their hands, for a cell phone, Skittles. But yet a dude can walk right past a whole group of policemen in armored vehicles with a whole gun on his hand. And there's nothing happened to him, not even questioning. Like, he doesn't look suspicious. Whereas you could walk up the street, oh, we heard about the burglary in the neighborhood. I've been stopped before on foot by a cop car on my way to do taxes. Oh, we heard that there was a burglary in the neighborhood and you matched the description. Sure enough, told his ass what? Because they were black, right? Come on, man. Black people could always match the description, but if it's white, it's right. And here we go. We got this man shooting people on tape. We have all this evidence before and afterhand. Even the mom was trying to, you know, get off with this kid, man, trying to make sure this kid doesn't get in trouble. Whereas you got black women, you have black mothers who are, yeah, they're forging addresses because they're trying to make sure that their kids can go to a better school in a better neighborhood. They're in jail right now. But this mother of this young man, you know what I'm saying, helps this kid evade the law for a bit, and yet she's free. But yet, the only people with mugshots right now in prison are black women trying to make sure that their kids have better lives, a better education. The double standard here in America is appalling. You fast forward, get into this trial once again. What does this man say? This man says, we should let this man free because we have other members of society who have shot a person 7 times and they're out. If that's not a slap to the face, obviously he's talking about the cop who shot Jacob Blake last year 7 times. And the prosecutor just decided not to go through with the trial with this one. This attorney for the defense had the audacity to bring that up. This is like a slap, an absolute slap in the face. Come on, man. Y'all need to understand what's going on. Y'all need to see this. And this, I don't know. And then the judge. So I guess in Wisconsin, they have an extra amount of jury members. And at the end, before they come up with a verdict, they pull names out of like a fishbowl hat or whatever to actually pick who's going to do the final verdicts. So it's like a total of 12 people, 12 jurors out of 18. And typically the bailiff or the judge would, you know, pick out the names, random names. This judge says, hey, why don't you pick out the names? Brings over the little box to Kyle so he could pick out the names. Like, the whole optics of this is crazy. The fact that he's given like the I don't even know, not even the, is it privileged? Would that be the right word to pick out your jurors? Even though it's random. Like, what is going on here? It's just wild. All black people are trying to do is live their best lives. We're not trying to mind nobody's business. Just leave us alone. If we do some shit, make sure you know, we get held accountable the same way our white counterparts do. But look at all these privileges. This shit is out here for people to see. So like, when people talk about, man, there is no racism, there's just one America, make America great again. These are all, we're not even calling this dog whistles no more. Y'all talking out loud. America, y'all talking out loud right now. And time again, we see shit like this. See shit like this. God forbid black people go on their own and go do some shit. You're just going to bomb the country. Or you're going to just bomb the town. I.e. Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm just speechless. Honestly. Because like, I know after Trayvon, definitely tears of anger. Mike Brown, because this keeps happening over and over again. Every day you hope for a different outcome, a fair outcome, and just put ourselves out there to be let down once again. At this point, I won't even find it as a surprise that if they let him off. Because every time there's a black victim, they try to use their mugshots just to kind of villainize them a little bit. Whereas if it's a white suspect or a white, person that was indicted, they try to put them in the best light possible. It happens all the time. All the time. It's like white is right. Black folks, we don't get that same opportunity. To end this off, I just want to say I hope one day that people who are supposed to enforce the law have the same dedication to their job as Kyle Rittenhouse had for his. I don't know who put him on that job, but all that dedication, that energy that he had for his job, I hope law enforcement has the same dedication and energy into doing it fairly and equally. Tired of dying out here. Or we're tired of just seeing white folks living their best life after they transgress against us in the movement. Simple as that. I'm not even gonna go crazy here. But anyways, check me out on Instagram, Stirring the Pot Talks, on Facebook, STP Talks. You already know what it is. You can jump up on that DM. And I'm going to catch you on the next one. Stay dedicated, my friends. She crazy.